a Radio 1 91 FM podcast.
And we're talking to Jess and Chris about the Fringe show, Spectacle Presents Close. let's just go general to start with. What is it? And if you were to give the short description of what it was, what would you call it?
I would call it an art experience, I guess. There's three pieces made by five different artists. They're all interactive. They're all a little bit fun.
They're all different forms of art as well.
Different mediums. Pan art.
Yeah.
but yeah, it should be really fun.
Cool. Types of art there. So there's music.
There is.
Which we love at Radio 1.
Absolutely.
There's electronic, what would you call there's a dating
experience. I guess it's always like a tricky one to say, like it's
a game.
It's a multimedia.
It's digital art. It's
it's
interactive art.
Immersive.
Yeah.
I don't know what label does that
it's
get.
It's an art experience as well. I don't know what you would call that.
That's
open to interpretation.
You know, that suggests boundary pushing. You know, when you can't pin it down, that suggests boundary pushing.
Indeed.
There's got to be one. I don't know what the name is, but there's got to be a category,
be
a genre for that.
Yeah, everything's got one. Unfortunately, you know, everything's got a category. Someone's done it, kind of before.
I feel like we've labelled it like digital art in the past or something like that, just to kind of separate it, I suppose, from.
And what's your one? What's your art?
Installation?
Interactive installation art?
A fluffy interactive installation.
So, nice. So all of those, except music is, you know, people tend to open up to music quite easily, but multimedia art and interactive art, people often have a recoiling, you know, a kind of natural recoiling to, especially ones with participation where they have to do something. What would you say to them to assuage those fears and get them along?
No one will judge you.
No one will judge you. I mean, I guess it's always a thing.
It's more that you're allowed to interact. You don't have to.
You're invited.
You can stand and look, but
you can also touch.
Yeah, if you feel like you would like to, you are invited to interact and
move things around, I suppose, to a certain extent.
It's the same with the music. You can make your own with the instruments.
Yeah.
So, there will be noises and strange happenings, and you can help participate with these.
You can make some of the noises
if you like.
If you desire. Yeah. Or you can just watch.
Look around.
Yeah.
Cool. So, tell me something about Spectacle as a sort of collective. Who are you?
it's
like an entity that we created
to put on fun.
Yeah.
Things like this.
Just a collective of artists doing.
Yeah, I guess it's like a way for us to have a reason for a creative outlet, I suppose. Mm-hmm. Like
a way to bring all of our things that we enjoy together and bring artists that we like in to do shows together and then also enable new things to happen within this sort of realm by getting funding or something to be able to pay people to do stuff.
And on that note, Dunedin Dream Brokerage is supporting you with this one. Can you tell us a little bit about them and what they do?
Dunedin Dream Brokerage are an incredible organisation in Dunedin. We're very lucky to have them. So they have a broker who brokers spaces for artists and creatives to showcase their work, I guess.
They work with unoccupied buildings around town and work with the people who own the buildings to get a deal so that you can use their space temporarily
while it's not being used for anything else.
It's, you know, like it's sort of revitalising the city in a way, like, you know, that space would otherwise just be empty and sitting there with big Felice signs in it. So, you know, they did mahi to make sure that it's filled with something cool and
exciting. Something that makes the city, the art city it's supposed to be.
I think the idea is that you then can get prospective people through that see this space and say, this is what could be happening here.
Sure.
I would like to lease this space, and I don't know if that happens, but that's one of the outcomes.
Well, last Fringe, we had a space on Carroll Street. Used to be the shop on Carroll, if you've been around it for a while, and we had a lot of foot traffic through that was like, oh, it's so great to finally see something in here, how long are you going to be here for? It's like, oh, just the week. But, you know, I hear there's a kitchen store coming, but
On that then, the space that you're in this time, and you're in there for how long?
So we're in 125 George Street, which is the farmer's block next to the lolly shop, I believe. So we're in there...
Opposite farmers.
Yeah.
Across the road.
Yeah. We'll be in there from... as soon as we get the keys, really, which is probably this weekend. But the show will be opening on the 14th. And it'll be for the duration of the Fringe, so we'll wind up on the 22nd, I believe. Yeah. So we've got some certain dates and times that it'll be popping up, and you can stumble across it, hopefully. Mm. Yeah.
Is that sort of a thing that you're hoping will happen with that location and the kind of thing it is that people just sort of find their way in?
Yeah. So we were just talking about a project that we did with the Dream Brokerage earlier, which was a musical furniture. So we made instruments out of lounge furniture,
like a
chair, and there was a table, there was a radio that you could play.
But people just stumbling across it.
Yeah. So it was like, you know, we sort of went into a bunch of different places in the city, and you have everyone walking around on their lunch break, and they're kind of like, you know, what's going on in
there?
That's usually empty. Like, what is that? So I think that sort of thing definitely.
There's a lot of people walking through town. Mm. It's surprising.
Dunedin is good for that. Yeah. Like, especially compared to some places in New Zealand, having a town that people do actually.
Yeah, absolutely.
Just walk around is lovely. I lived in Hamilton for a while. Town is the deadest part of Hamilton. So there's music involved. Let's get into the music. You've created, or you're creating, some instruments for the installation.
We're trying to repurpose things that may have otherwise ended up in the tip. We're working with Lee from Regear Library, who's just a wizard, tech wizard, and he's got a passion for repurposing, recycling, diverting things from the landfill. And he's a creative genius. He sort of comes across these weird ideas, and
he sees a CD player, and he doesn't see rubbish. He sees. Yeah.
So we're going to use these instruments to create the soundtrack for the game that's going to be there, and that will happen on the opening night, and then for the rest of the show the instruments will be there for people to play with. They're going to be pretty weird. Hopefully they don't fall apart.
Yeah, that'd be kind of cool though.
Yeah.
Kind of.
It's all a big experiment, the one that's pretty fascinating at the moment is the old diskette drive that's you would have put your CD in, in a computer probably, that has some moving parts that make cool sounds if you modify them to do so, and different ways of picking up the sounds or translating the sounds.
I've always thought that listening, like, you know, growing up with like a home computer, sort of a desktop, and they used to make a lot more noise than they do now. They've quieted them down a lot.
Less moving parts.
But even like the modem making so many noises and the disc, there was always like an element of musicality to it.
Yeah.
Like, you know, especially if you like drone or you like, you know, hum or something, you know. Very cool. So the music is going to support the game on the opening night. What's the game? Because I'm games are my I love a game.
Games are your thing. So we've got Emma Johansson and Yuko Shimada, and they've created a dating experience. It's called Hello Stranger. It's like a pick a path style game.
This is also Hello Stranger version.
Three.
Yeah, volume
so,
three.
They were involved in the very first show that we did. And then a couple of years ago, we did another one called Play, which made sense to have them involved,
game
obviously.
And
so,
play.
Yeah, so this is the third iteration. So it's quite cool to see how it's evolved. And this time it's going to be a hologram, which is quite exciting. Yeah, and it's just you
pick
go
a,
in
pick
and
a path dating
pick a path
interactive.
Dating.
I was going to say, is there is what are the good and bad outcomes there? Not to spoil anything.
Well,
do they go terrible?
Yeah. I think there is a good and a bad ending.
Right,
there might be a couple of in between endings. I'm not sure how much they would want us to reveal.
Yeah, of course.
Surprises.
Previously,
there's been death.
Jess was just saying the last version season two that she played she was upset because she died and on her date
that's gonna be that's gonna be a bad date to go. I've had bad ones in my life. I've never had dying.
I haven't previously died on a date.
Silver lining. Do the audience play it? How do they play it? Like, what's the sort of mechanism?
So
previously it was on a with a keyboard with a mouse.
It will still be. It's going to be a keyboard and a mouse this time as well. But instead of it being projected onto a wall, obviously it's going to be like a life-size hologram, which is quite exciting. And yeah, I guess you cue and you take your turn, and that's usually how it's done. You can go back and replay it if you like.
I think majority will be with a mouse choosing the options.
Yeah,
or,
I think the keyboard's there for.
So you can write your name in.
Yes, but there's also, for the opening, there's going to be some crowd participation, which involves bringing the holograms up. Mm-hmm. So you have to find a code. So
right.
I imagine the keyboard's going to be used for that.
Cool.
There's also going to be rewards for reaching different outcomes.
Yeah. Yes.
They've got stickers and things.
Last time they had, I got a badge that said... I died.
Yeah.
it's kind of a fun little memento, which would be cool. We did some t-shirts as a fundraiser for the game, which have the game sort of opening
Can
screen.
Can you still
on
get
it.
Those? They're
no,
finished.
we have them, but there'll be some people there wearing those, which will be quite fun to see. Some fans of the previous games. Yeah.
Some lifers. Cool. It sounds like a lot of sensory experiences. A lot of But we were talking just before we started about a gallery, an art gallery, and the sort of open, white, airy space with to people who are scared of that sort of feeling.
Yeah,
what would you say to them, and how would you get them to come see?
I think they should come and just.
Just give it a go.
I mean, we're discussing that, I guess, in the frame of making something that is more accessible. I guess there's a preconceived notion that you have to know lots and take away, like you said, you have to have a revelation. You know, there's some pressures sometimes, not all the time, but sometimes in a gallery for some people. So this is more of a...
We were trying to make more of a party zone
of,
or a gig environment than a...
You're allowed to touch things,
white.
You know, you can move things around to a certain extent.
And saying that, this one will probably be quite dark because of the... We need it quite dark for the hologram to work.
Light the things.
But yeah, there will be lights around for the other things.
I've noticed that, though, because coming from... I did a bit of theatre, and we've had the vaguest bits of audience participation with, people going into the rows to sort of, grab a person or whatever. The dark helps people.
It definitely does.
Interact with things. It really
I think,
does.
I feel like I personally would be quite frightened if someone came to me to take me on stage. I'd be like, no, choose someone else. But
there is the eyes. You get the eyes of people just pleading with you.
To,
this is much more voluntary. If you would like to participate, you're welcome to. But the idea is that it's a very inviting environment for people to come in. You know, whether you're just walking in off the street or whether you're hearing this on the radio and it's piqued your interest. You know,
it's interesting because that's if it's a dating sort of game, that's somewhere where you normally face a lot of judgment, or you feel like you're facing a lot of judgment.
Yeah. So you could just watch a few people have a go, and then you know if you feel like it, you could have a go, or you could come back, you know,
on a quieter day. There's a lot of the last one, you know, just a lot of enjoyment, like a lot of giggles and
laughing,
people being silly and
you could also bring a friend and go on the date together.
That's true. Support.
There's no judgment for that.
You'd be like, together we make one competent date.
No third wheels. It's all right.
A hologram's not going to mind if you bring a friend to it. Holograms. Hologram dating.
Yes.
The future of it. Is there any sort of warning in there, or is any of it?
This could be the opening of the can.
Exactly.
Thought about
is there a Philip K. Dick novel about that one?
There's definitely something.
Some kind of warning literature.
Hopefully they don't come alive and.
Someone gets an outcome that you haven't planned for.
Yeah.
Odin steps out.
We'll turn on the light and the hologram will fade away.
Hologram will disappear. Yeah.
Cool. Any sort of if young people, because that is our audience for the most part. Sort of, we have a tendency nowadays to be a bit, you know. Like, we'd rather go to a house party, or, you know, we'd rather go get drunk. Or not that people haven't always done that, but we have a tendency to be a little bit scared of things like this.
Fair enough.
I would say go and do that first and then come. And then you'll feel a bit more relaxed.
A bit loose.
We do have some wonderful sponsors called Emerson's Brewery.
Nice.
So there will be a few drinks on the night if that helps.
At the opening?
At the opening.
And the opening night is...
That might make people feel a bit more comfortable, I guess. Mm. The 14th, Friday the 14th, I think we're opening at 6, and the crowd participation will be from 7, so it'll go for an hour, so it'll sort of be a chance for people to have a look around, and then the idea is that the performance will happen while the first people play the game.
Yep.
So I guess it's, if you're a diehard fan, which there will be, they'll be there in their
t-shirts. Yeah. First in line, like, waiting all day.
I'm ready to hunt for the clue.
We might need to have a competition to see who gets to play the first game.
Oh, yeah, maybe.
I don't know how we're going to, who gets to decide that otherwise.
First of all.
Get in line. Yeah.
Something. Let the hologram choose.
Maybe.
Cool. Well, thank you for coming in and talking to me about it.
Thanks for having us.
Is there any other fringe shows that you'd like to shout out, or anything you've seen that you would?
There's a lot this year.
It's
that
big program.
Looks really good. I'm quite keen to get along to Nick Tipper's got a show. A one-man show that involves like wrestling characters.
Yeah, he's coming on at some point. That'll be really interesting to talk about.
He's fantastic.
Yeah, he's got some, like, Zach Nichols, I think, has done the music for it. Who's a prominent Canadian musician,
local composer, extraordinary.
Yeah, lots of bands. So that one I think will be quite cool. There was a girl. And she's got a comedy theatre show, and it's called like a Hot Girl and a Suzuki Swift one.
So I
went to a show of hers a few years ago when Ajo was down in the valley, and it was incredible. Like, just that the musical theatre element added
in. Yeah, the big funny.
Like it just lifted it and it was hilarious. So I reckon that would be also a good one.
I've got people on both of those, I think. Last week they were in the shout outs.
Cool.
Certainly, like, you know, there's some real unique stuff. You know, I guess that's the thing about a friend.
It gives people the platform to kind of do the kooky, weird and idea stuff, you know, like.
And it's very, very accessible.
Yeah.
The prices are amazing.
Yeah. It's
genuinely
great.
Amazing.
Yeah. So, which is really good for students, I guess. But yeah, like in comparison to other festivals, which are also really great, it just, the Fringe is a really accessible event and it's great.
I would say though, if you are interested in something, you should get in quick because things sell out.
They do.
Yeah,
they do.
And they're pretty short. They're all, you know, short, sharp seasons,
a
lot of them.
Exactly.
You can quite often
get like one-nighters or...
Yeah, and you can quite often do a few things in one evening.
Definitely.
If you want to.
Yeah, and they have the late night lineup stuff. They're doing a karaoke thing as well, which sounds...
terrifying and fun.
I wouldn't do karaoke. I think I would die, but... It sounds like it would be amazing to watch.
Yeah.
It's some like people from the Fringe that are going to be doing it, and then it's like it's open to there's certain spots that are open, but then they're like trying to get artists and stuff to come and do it as well. So it'll be quite funny to see how that goes.
It's quite nice to give a personal or sort of like a behind the scenes look at the artists as well. You know, like highlight them as people rather than, you know, a lot of time. You do like a theatre show for someone or something and they think of like, oh, that's an artist, you know, capital A, like
that's the character,
inaccessible.
I can't talk to them,
but everyone wants to talk about their art. Which is what we've just done. Talked about yours. It was fantastic. Thank you for coming in.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us.
And get along 14th to the 22nd of March,
125 George Street.
You'll see it. There's windows.
Yeah, it's free as well.
Free is great. Yeah. And there's Koha
workshops.
Yep, for the workshops.
Workshops are I do tufting, which is carpet making. So I've got some workshops across the entire time it's open. There was quite a lot of interest for those. And then we've got a build your own musical instrument with the makers of the instruments as well. Yeah, it's all on the Fringe website. Give a little
The program on Dunedin Fringe is amazing. Just Google it. I could tell you the name of the website, but you need to know how to use Google in 2025. Come on.
if you cannot use it.
Yeah, exactly. Can you avoid the Google? and if you want to get your hands busy with something, it sounds like a great place to be. Yeah. Tactile. Everyone remembers when they were a kid and they loved just playing with things, you know, putting their hands on things, getting involved. So get a bit of that spirit about you and get along. Awesome. Thank you, Tim.
Thank you.
Have a good one. I meant to start this as a tradition. Do you have a song recommendation? I can play basically anything.
I didn't think about that.
Just anything you've been listening to lately that you love.
We've been listening to a lot of Juju Lips recently.
Yeah.
Let's play some Juju Lips, then that'll go down well with the audience as well, because we love her at Radio 1. Awesome. Thank you, Dame.
Thank you.
That was a Radio 1 91 FM podcast. You can find more at r1.co.nz or wherever quality content is found.